Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Bye week was timely for a lot of reasons, I suppose, but, you know, we would like to do everything we can to help this team grow. We're confident about doing that, and I've been real impressed with the work that we've gotten from our team. I know that I've mentioned the character of this team often in here, and I would like to just reemphasize that. This is a good group. I think it was, it felt good to get to practice with them last week, the way that they worked.
Welcome to it, a Friday edition, a Roadshow Friday on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, as we are at Seacrest Field here in Lincoln ahead of playoff football, that great time of year where it is high school football playoff time, a big game in the Big Ten for Nebraska and for Purdue Saturday night as it is on BTN at 6:30. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore is here, and I am way more bundled up than a NFL defensive lineman because Jay's about to rip his sleeves off because he likes this type of weather. Jay Byrne, how are you, man?
Well, first off, false. I hate this kind of weather. I was actually was supposed to play a little golf today, a little outing, and they still had it, and I said, there's no way. I mean, you're crazy for playing this type of weather. But no, it's a good time of year. High school football, you know, you know, as well as it, you see that winter's coming. I hate that part of it, but it is a fun time of year where football playoffs in the state is kicking off, and we're here at Seacrest and chatting up a little bit about a big game tomorrow night.
Yeah,
finally.
It's going to be it's the next game, which means it'll
Every game for these guys are big.
No, I know, and we'll get into plenty of that. Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, is coming on the show. Security permitting with his landing at the airport he's going to. That's not a shot on Bill. He's just, he's Bill Dolman, so he might be signing a few autographs. Friday forecast is coming up in hour two as we're here at Seacrest Field. The other thing we've got rocking perhaps is former Purdue standout safety. Stu Schweigert. He played for Joe Tiller in the early 2000s, part of that Rose Bowl team, part of the Drew Brees team. We are efforting Stu Schweigert at around 5:05 tonight. We'll see if that can happen. Can get in touch with us. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. And hit us up on Twitter at JMoore44. Thoughts about Saturday. Thoughts about this coaching carousel discussion that doesn't go away and may intensify if that's even possible, depending on Nebraska's performance Saturday night. Can find me on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio, and can email us, Chris at HailVarsity.com, Jay at HailVarsity.com. So much to get into. I want to get your take on this first, and let's dive into the last 2 weeks. And it's felt like a year. It's been a lot of speculation, a lot of debate, a lot of discussion about Mike Riley, his future, and that has not gone away. It has not gone away post-Ohio State. It did not go away with the bye week. It's not gone away with every double-digit win Scott Frost has. It's not gone away as you've had 2 weeks since you've last played football. And now what you have here is the noise, and that noise can translate to pressure. And it couldn't be internal pressure for guys wanting to go out and perform, play well for their head coach, their coordinator, their position coach. And I wanted to get your take on that with just the ability from a player's perspective with the noise and the pressure, if that can and will affect tomorrow night. I know you know folks close to the team. You're a former player, so that door's open for you always. I'm interested to see if these guys can go play free, not under the the chains of new system on defense, not under the chains of injury issues at linebacker, not under the issues of an inconsistent offense that sputtered when they've gotten into the red zone. I'm just talking about the psyche post-Ohio State, post half the stadium walking out on you, and the psyche going in knowing that, hey, there is a lot of discussion about your head coach and whether or not he returns.
Yeah, it's interesting because you'd like to think that, you know, you'd be able, you can block some of that stuff out. Nowadays with the social media, everyone having a voice, everyone have some sort of line of communication to whoever it may be. It becomes tough, but it comes a time and point where if you want to look at it as internally, as a team, you want to go even, you know, more micro than that as a person and as a player, when does it become enough is enough if you're tired of getting your ass kicked? You know, I think that's about this time. You know, whether or not you're going to be your head coach or not, whether you're a senior or not, whether you're going to be coming back here or not, whether you think if Mike Riley's going to leave, you're going to transfer or not, who knows? When you start taking some pride in yourself and how you perform, to stop getting embarrassed and stop and, you know, put up a fight a little bit. That's why I want to see what these guys come out. Because, I mean, if you see a good performance, some good fight, a good physical.
To see a good game, kind of like the Illinois game.
Play well. Take care of business. This you can you got a chance and an ability to finish out the season strong. But if you go there and lay an egg, look disinterested, don't look like you care. This season you might as well just wash it up. Just pack it up because it's done. And I hope to God it doesn't happen. Because if I tell you what, if that's the case, we have, you know, whether it's a Mike Riley issue or not, there's a huge culture mentality issue down in that locker room. And if you have guys that are worried about, you know, not putting forth the effort, this is a bigger project to take over than I think some people might even realize. But hopefully these guys, whether or not if they're worried about their coach coming back now or next year or something new, take pride in what you do personally. If all 11 guys on the field offensively, defensively take pride and say, hey, I'm just tired of getting embarrassed. I'm tired of people talking about how bad we are. I'm tired of playing bad football. I'm tired of getting my ass kicked. Hopefully they step up and make a decision and start playing some good football, because that's all I want. Well, that's all it needs to take is to start playing some better football, take some pride, take some ownership in what you're doing, and try to make a change. Finish out this season strong. You know what? Finish out so you finish 7-5. You know, that's very realistic for this team to finish these last four games or five games 4-1 and go to a bowl game. You know, that's all. It's all still there, but it's up to them now.
Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, we're here at Seacrest Field, Hail Varsity Radio. We are on the road, a road show Friday with Hail Varsity. Seacrest, they'll have Lincoln High and Millard South. That is pretty exciting. That is going to be an awesome ball game. It is, well, what do we say, 37 degrees. The trees off to the east are changing gold, red, yellowish. The American flag is straight out and kind of tilted to the southeast part of the stadium, and it is going to be throwback Big Ten weather when it comes to football today. And you look at what it could be tomorrow night in West Lafayette. It could be the same type weather. The wind, I don't know if they'll have any rain, but it's going to be chilly. It's going to be snot knocking time.
It's well, not conducive to a throw it 40 times type of game.
No, it is not.
But
Jay,
it's never conducive for Nebraska football to throw it 40 times. But
we'll get into the game plan and how this thing shakes out here next hour. But you are in Big Red wrap up again. Nice work. You looked very clean and crisp.
Appreciate it.
That's a little shot at you. We're hanging banners outside before we jump in and do this thing. Now we're in a booth. I look like I'm in Antarctica, so forgive me here. But we're putting, you know, ESPN and KFOR banners up, and as Jay likes to do, there's a height difference here, and you know we're putting this banner up, and his eye line's a little different than mine. He's like, hey, can you reach it? He's trying to be very nice and complimentary, but no,
tongue in cheek,
punch to the face. That's kind of the feeling out there with some Nebraska fans talking about a coach, a guy named Scott Frost that was incredible here, that's done well at Central Florida. Talking about that now, and listen, I've not done 3 weeks of it. We got into it a little bit last week. It's kept going this week because that is who Nebraska fans, not all but many, want. And that's who they believe can fix this thing, because they don't believe what is going on right now is salvageable. In my heart right now, I'm saying, let's see how the year plays out before anything's made. I don't know that you can do that as an athletic director. Bill Moose was incredible with us yesterday. There's not been a lot of vocal, hey, Riley's great, support type discussion. The narrative has been, he's my coach and I will support him. He's my coach now and I will support him. And that's fair with athletic director Moose, because he's got to judge this thing. And does a miracle 5-0 finish change your mind about how 2018 can be? It would help. But from a long-term perspective, a lot of folks have made their mind up already that this is what they are. They're going to be at best 9 wins. They'll have 4 losses, and that's where, at best, that's where they're going to be. They're not going to compete for championships. The folks that want Riley to stick around, let him get his guys in here. Let's keep recruiting. Let's see how next year is, because 3 years is short. Now, that window of performance continues to shrink in college football. And Bill Moose with us and wherever else he's been interviewed has been very adamant about what Nebraska needs to get back to being. And there's just a real question mark about whether really awesome guy and a smart football coach, Mike Riley, can be the guy to get that, because right now confidence from the fan base has continued to wane. I want to get your thoughts here on that that discussion point about Riley and his job. Is it salvageable? Is it savable? And I would never say never, but just what's in front of him, there's opportunity. You beat Purdue. Well, I know you're not supposed to in Vegas, but as a Nebraska fan, you're supposed to beat Purdue. Northwestern, I know they've given the last 2 coaches fits, no pun intended, but they are a beatable team. Okay, you have better talent, air quoting here, than Northwestern. Minnesota, new coach. We'll see what they do against Iowa this weekend, but Minnesota is not the Jerry Kill Minnesota. Penn State's insanely talented. Moving on. And then there's Iowa, which you have not been able to solve. Okay. So all the 4 of the 5 are teams you should beat every year. Not saying you drill them by 30 or 40. It depends on the year, depends on the team, depends on the buildup. That being said, the fact that we're discussing and talking about Purdue being a favorite and you've had some missteps already, that in itself is an issue.
Yeah. I look at it, you want to talk about being able to save your a job as a head coach. I mean, you look at these 5 games and you finish, let's be honest, he goes 5-0. I mean, he's back. Yeah, I think so. I mean, come on, you go to Penn State. I just look at it like, if you want to compare to where Penn State was last year, mm-hmm. where they struggled early on, people were calling for Franklin. They get blown out by Michigan at Michigan, but they beat Penn State at home. You know, they block the field goal, they return it, you know, late in the game and win the game. And that's one game people thought there was no way in hell they were going to win.
They pulled one out.
Right, they did. But then they finished strong. I mean, you win the Big Ten championship and you go to the Rose Bowl. I mean, that Nebraska's not going to the Big Ten championship game. There's no way. Wisconsin's not going to slip up that far to make those mistakes. I don't foresee that.
You would need
that
a million a person from the starting 22 in the 2-deep to mm-hmm. throw the games.
Right, correct. I think that, I mean, you finish, you finish 8-4 mm-hmm. and you beat Penn State. I think that's salvageable. You know, you can bring him back.
Decent bowl game.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe. You're right. 4-1 possibility, but it depends on what's that Penn State game look like. You know, is it a good fight or is it a bloodbath? how's that, you know, but but force Bill Moose to make a decision. That's if you're without these 5 games, forget. I know the Northern Illinois game. You want to talk about how bad the Ohio State game was to finish at Wisconsin, but make him make a decision. Make it tough on him a little bit. Don't just make it say, oh, this is a foregone conclusion because of these performances. Looking at it going forward, I mean, there's a lot to be seen. It's just how the mentality of his players. What's as a staff, is the energy there? Because or is it kind of like dead man walking? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just here putting my time.
And the body language from the coaches
as December 1 is I'm out of here. You know,
Would you agree with me that the body language from Riley it's not good, and it wasn't good post I-Course. It wasn't good post Northern Illinois. It's not supposed to be. You're not supposed to be high-fiving and cheering. I get that, but just even the same type of energy he has when he speaks is a little more muted because he might know he's gone. Mm-hmm. Just knowing the business, being in the business as long as he has been, he gets it. He gets the guy that brought him in is gone.
Right.
And you have this for him, for Mike Riley, whether he comes back or not, whether a change is made, as much as football's given him and as much as he's given to football, it's totally a Mike Riley move to strive to go out 5-0. I mean, he's mellow, but he is a competitor, and that's going to be the mission. Now, I don't know if they hit that or not, and things will take care of itself, but you're right, make Bill Moose think about it. It shouldn't be just this cut and dry, this easy. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of times you have as an athletic director, you've got to be making moves five or six steps ahead for plan A, plan B, or plan C. And that is also a reality in college football. More to spend time on with Mike Riley and what can be done by him and his team between now and Thanksgiving. A quick timeout. We are here at Seacrest Field ahead of high school playoff football, Lincoln High and Millard South. Blackshirt Jay is in, Chris Schmidt. We'll try and run Bill Dolman down shortly. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back here at Seacrest Field, a roadshow Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. We are ahead of Lincoln High and Millard South. You'll hear that on KFOR in Lincoln. And Jay Moore is kind of bundled up. I look like I'm going for the Iditarod. I am easing my way into this thing we call fall / winter in Nebraska. The Friday forecast is coming up, perhaps. Former safety of Purdue, Stu Schweigert, former teammate of Jay Moore's in the NFL and in the up in Omaha with the Nighthawks. I want to remind you, if you plan to go out tonight, it's the weekend, it's Friday, find that sober ride. Because if you get caught drinking and driving, a DWI could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and in jail time, and you'll be required to install an interlock device into that vehicle. We remember the 40-year-old virgin, not a good look. So if you're going out, remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. Get that sober ride home. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation Highway Safety Office. We welcome in, is he with us, Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury? Bill, are you with us?
I'm with you, and I am in parts unknown for a guy from Fairbury, Nebraska. Portland is a different breed of cat, let me tell you.
Okay, you're in Portland, my friend. How much mm-hmm. flannel have we seen?
What's that?
How much flannel have we seen?
not much yet, but you know, when you go downtown Portland, it's pretty much standing room only for all kinds of different garb, and hemp, I'm guessing, is pretty popular there too.
All right, Bill. Well, what are you making? I'm kidding. We're going to stop right there. Bill, a thought here. Jay and I were talking a little bit about Mike Riley, the noise that is built for 3 weeks, the task at hand to go out and make Bill Moose think about it. It being retention and bringing him back for 18. Don't know if that's going to happen or not, but you can do something about it if you're Mike Riley. What's your kind of take on not only tomorrow night, but this situation that Nebraska is in? Is it possible to salvage the job if you're Mike Riley? What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's really tough. You know, unfortunately, you know, we were the model of stability for 40 years. And it was the thing that set us apart for so long, not just at the head coaching position, but, you know, from crazy Uncle George to Ron Brown and Turner Gill and Charlie McBride and Milton Dan. those guys were around forever and essentially part of our, you know, our family, because we knew them so well. And now here we are. You know, we went through this with Frank and the 4-year case of the flu. And we were twisting a little bit then, because, you know, it was kind of under everybody's breath that Poindexter didn't like Frank and that something was going to happen. I mean, you know, it was a little twist. It was like this breeze in the forest, you know. But we all knew something might happen, and sure enough, it did after the Colorado game. When Callahan was going to get whacked, I mean, we all bought tickets, right? I mean, it was like watching Gladiator, and you're just waiting for the end, right? With Pelini, I think there was a little more mixed, but everybody knew, I think, it was time to take the shower. But I think with Mike Riley, everybody likes the guy. Universally loved throughout the college football world. The media actually likes him. You know, it's not like they built him up so they could tear him down. I don't think anybody would dare tear down Mike Riley. So it's very difficult to see a guy like that twist in the wind, if you ask me. But he's also in his 60s. He's been around a long time. He's going to make a lot of money. And I'm sure a lot of his brothers in the business have gone through this. And he went through it at San Diego before, wherever else he's been. But I think it's very difficult to see a guy like this go through it. And that's really, I think, the unfortunate thing. But Nebraska's put itself in that position. And here we go, and I don't think it's possible for Bill Moose to come in and say, you know what, 6-6 is good enough. We're going to 5-7, and we're going to another bowl game because our grades are good. I just don't see that happening, unfortunately.
Bill, what if you look at the scenario of going 7-5? You play Penn State tough on the road. You make it a game. It's not blown out. You're in it in the fourth quarter, but you lose. But you finish 7-5. Go to a game. Do you still risk not getting a guy like Scott Frost, who's probably, no matter what, leaving Central Florida this year to go to a place like Tennessee, maybe a Texas A&M, maybe even a Florida if they decide to get rid of McElwain? Do you even risk not going and getting a guy like that and still bringing Mike Riley back for a fourth year?
Sugar, listen to yourself. We're talking about if we play well at Nebraska. If we just play well, that's just not acceptable. And you know that. Nebraska has to be very careful with this whole Scott Frost thing. You know, and I think Scott owes it to Nebraska to be careful and to be – if he doesn't want to go to Nebraska and he wants to go to A&M, which I think would be an odd fit, if he wants to go to Tennessee, which probably would be attractive, I can't believe they would get rid of McElwain of Florida at this point. The Florida State job might be open. Ed Orgeron might be out the door. You know, there might be some really attractive SEC jobs out there. And if Scott has that in his mind to go do, you know, good on him. But I think he owes it to his alma mater, even though people booed him after he went to Stanford, to say, you know what, I just want other challenges in my life. I love Nebraska, but this is what I need to do for me. And what I want to do with my career, and leave it at that, so that Nebraska is not wondering, you know, Scott going to go out with us or not. So I think that's where there's a real delicate thing here. If Nebraska misses out on Scott Frost, it's going to be embarrassing, but Bill Moose had better bring a much bigger bat to the plate than Scott Frost. I mean, he's got to go get maybe a retired former coach who's won a national championship. I don't know. But he's going to have to go big or really, really intriguing with the major hire. Nebraska, I don't think Nebraska's in a position to really go find the next Urban Meyer. You know what I'm saying? Well, like Utah did. When nobody knew who Urban Meyer was, but they said, okay, Joe Glenn can't get here because of a snowstorm, so we're going to hire Urban Meyer, and they got lucky. I don't think Nebraska can necessarily bring in that next guy, because this has become so overwhelming to the people of Nebraska. It's such a tenuous situation. But I think Scott has to be kind to his alma mater and say, I just want to go do something else. And I think people in Nebraska might respect that. It'd probably boo him again like it did when he went to Stanford. But that's the tenuous, you know, tightrope that they're walking right now. I trust Bill Moose to go big. He did it at Washington State.
Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman with us, NBC Sports at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Bill, is the only hire in this situation Scott Frost? I mean, Bill Moose is, we talked to him yesterday, he's super confident. He knows what he's doing. He's won. He's been very good at letting things work at Oregon and kind of helping raise them to what they became. Washington State, win while you rebuild. Rebuilding is not what Nebraska is. When they made the change, your minimum was 9 wins, right? Because that's what you replaced. The blowback, if he goes another direction, if he makes that decision and it's not Scott Frost, you mentioned that you got to go find a retired dude who's won a national championship. There's another guy that's on ESPN every Saturday that doesn't like dressing up, that's played in a couple or played in one. Is Nebraska attractive right now? Great athletic director, great resume for this current athletic director is what I meant to say. Time will tell if he's great. But is Nebraska in position to go big if they don't get Scott Frost?
Absolutely. One of Nebraska's problems is that they have every bell, whistle, and toy imaginable. All right? They may not have all of the different uniforms, thank God, that Oregon has, but Nebraska's facilities they're on par with everybody else. The support of the fans and the adulation, all that is far beyond anybody else. So everything is in place for the right guy and staff to come in and do well. You have an athletic director that you know is going, which is so important to an AD. You have an athletic or to a football coach that is going to support you 100%, right? Unfortunately for Mike Riley, he had a weak athletic director. Even though he hired him, Sean Eichhorst was weak. He didn't have presence at all in the state of Nebraska. Whoever comes in is going to go, that's my guy because I'm his guy. And this guy relates to the state of Nebraska, you know, Bill Moose, by all accounts. He's kind of one of us. He just was displaced to a different area. And I think he said as much. We're Nebraskans. We've just lived in a different part of the country. That's a good line. But the next coach is going to have every facility. He's going to have a fan base that's passionate and cares. I mean, think about like Jim Mora, you know, who's a pretty good football coach. They got decent stuff at USC. And they've got fans that, you know, have all kinds of interests. We hope you win. And if you don't, we're not going to show up. Do you really want that kind of job? Or do you want to be like James Franklin, who goes from Vanderbilt to Penn State, where they're passionate and they've got facilities and all of that? You want that kind of gig. That's going to attract you. So you've got a boss who's behind you. You've got fans who are behind the program 100%, unlike any place. You've got the facilities. Of course, it's an attractive job. What I mean by it being a problem is, you know, you have high school players who have been coddled now for 3 or 4 years and told that you are great, and it's like a number one draft pick in the NFL. Like, say, Sam Bradford. Okay, you won the Heisman at Oklahoma, but now all of a sudden you're the highest paid guy in the NFL when you haven't played it down there. So it's like these kids in high school are earning. Nebraska is their reward for doing well in high school, and there's no motivation to go out and prove yourself because you've already been rewarded. I get to play at Nebraska and I get all these bells and whistles and toys.
Bill, you got to jump in. Got to jump in real quick.
Back in there, you bring guys that were hungry, and I don't think you have the hunger right now.
About 15 seconds. Need a prediction, Billy D.
Well, I Nebraska's playing Purdue. Purdue's reeling after losing to Rutgers. I'm taking the Huskers on the road by a margin of 13-8.
Okay, 13-8. You've dropped your number. NBC Sports, Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman at Bill Dolman. Billy D, will catch up next Friday. Thanks, buddy.
All right, boys. See you.
Take care. There he is, Bill Dolman. Quick timeout, back with more Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Here at Seacrest Field, it is before high school playoff time in the great state of Nebraska, Lincoln High. Millard South kickoff at 7. The lights are on at Seacrest. That might be Coach Means down there looking at the American flag in the northeast quarter of the end zone. Had a great chant with former Duster, and he's been great at Millard South. And we'll hear from Mark Mackey, part of our pregame show of Lincoln High, when we take to the airways over on KFLR. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore were in the old booth. I thought about getting the table set up and setting up outside the booth, but I'm a wuss. It's cold, and I can't mess Jay Moore's hair up.
I'm surprised. You're the one that, with the beanie on. You're always... You know, bragging about your flow.
My hair's money. But we're getting taunted on Twitter by our friends at Lazari's.
Yeah.
As we're staying warm, they have the old Randy Ross pizza and cheese bread. And I'm just waiting for a knock on the door and booth from a delivery. Jay's got the money. so we're talking Nebraska and Purdue. We'll get more into the ball game. We're talking about the elephant. It's just more than one. It's a family of elephants from a size standpoint about Mike Riley's future, job security, if it is still salvageable based on how you finish. And let's just talk about Nebraska fans right now. And Bill Dolman's awesome. Just a great broadcaster, tremendous man, part of the Nebraska program, host of the Tom Osborne Show now with NBC Sports. And he's in Portland. Hopefully he'll smuggle home some craft beer. For us. Listen, I look at this, and you don't want it to go down this way if you're Nebraska, because you really like the guy and you want it to work out. Back to something he said, and Bill was there with Husker Vision and part of the Nebraska program when Frost was there, so he saw firsthand all of it. The return from Stanford. It's pinata time by the scout team in 96. Mm-hmm. And then, 1995,
right.
And then 96, you know, the Scott Frost doubt that was there because of the Arizona State loss. And then you saw 1997, and once he kicked the crap out of a really good Washington team, everyone jumped on board. And listen, I think you see former teammates of his with their Facebook posts. You see former teammates insinuate that he wants to honor Coach Osborne by coaching like him, building programs like him. That's all well and good. If push comes to shove, Bill brought up an interesting question about, you know, will Scott – if he really just doesn't want it. And that's the other part of this. Does he want to do it? I think there's a lot of him that wants to be a Nebraska coach. He's going to have a kid here in November. And, you know, his folks are in town. You know all about folks in vicinity to grandchildren. I mean, I get that. But this fishbowl, Jay, talk about that because you lived it as a player. And can you imagine living it as a coach? And you've got a guy that's very savvy, very genuine, and very likable in Mike Riley. And the fishbowl, the media, the fan base has not crushed him, but it's still eating him up, meaning that the performance hasn't matched the expectations and moving on to the next guy. Can you imagine that? I know there's a lot of zeros after a digit that help ease that pain, but still you got to live it. And if Frost is really interested in staying at Central Florida, building his own thing, if Frost is interested in trying to take the SEC by storm, if Frost is interested in the Pac-12, whatever. I mean, it's totally his prerogative. Would he give Nebraska a heads up saying just – timing in right now, the timing ain't right ever. There's different answers he can give.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one thing as Nebraska fans, and you just assume that he would want to take the job. And that might not be the case. We don't know. I mean, he has former Nebraska players on his staff down there, other gentlemen who have worked here at one point or another with the wait staff and whoever in the strength staff. But you would think as a guy who's, you know, won a national championship, played for Coach Osborne, played for a ton. You can just go down the list and Joel Klatt's.
Gruden, yeah.
Joel Klatt's tweet, you know, his little minute and a half, you know, film he put out, little session on Twitter. It just went down, you know, you want to go Belichick, Parcells, Gruden, Snyder. I mean, and he's coached both. The great thing about it is great coaches, have coached both sides of the ball. They played, you know, they either, you know, played the offense and then they went and coached, like in Frost's case, he went his first position job.
Is he down with Ron Prince?
He was with Snyder, I think, for a minute, okay. I believe, as a GM. But I think he was with Prince because I know that's how he got to get down to Tampa Bay because, Raheem Morris was the D coordinator, I think, under Prince when he was there. And then Raheem went down there and was the head coach there for a minute. But he's seen so many different things. You want to say Chip Kelly. He's seen multiple different sides of the game, from the NFL,
Walsh,
from the college.
You know,
there's so much.
I mean, it's
there's,
nuts.
I mean, the melting pot of people he's been around and just taken little tidbits from and applied them to his culture, to his staff, to his programs. You know, he was on Twitter, you know, the other day saying, you know, offensively, you know, I have my, you know, my beliefs, but everyone's kind of come from different places, and it's like he's six heads is way better than one. Mm-hmm. We all come together and to say, hey, this is what I've learned. This is what I've learned. Let's put it together and, you know, mesh this beautiful offensive game plan or defensive game plan.
Is he been able to, from an offensive standpoint, his two biggest influences, obviously Coach Osborne, obviously Chip Kelly, and you have a 2.0 version with tempo that they ran at Oregon, influenced by Osborne with the shotgun runs that he participated in the 90s. But now you add tempo to it and the speed factor that Oregon, that's been his kind of inspiration. That's the style he loves. But with all the things he's seen defensively and being a safety in the NFL, he is no doubt soaked in all of that brilliance from the NFL and even the folks he worked for in college to find really good identities on each side of the ball. I think that's a thing that you're screaming for and you're still looking for right now that's currently there. Okay, I think Diaco's got a really good identity. It's just not taken form yet because it is new. I will say that. And then offensively, don't know. I mean, they're trying to figure it out.
Right. You know, I think just list, you know, watching things on Twitter and social media and following people on, you know, with UCF backgrounds. But I thought Scott he had a clip, like a minute and a half clip from a press conference post game. And, you know, he's such a, you know, a smart, you know, guy. I mean, people don't realize what he said was really smart. I mean, as a head coach, he said last year as a football team defensively, that was their best part of the program. Offensively, wasn't that good. People asked about the tempo. He goes, I didn't think it was right for us to institute a tempo type of game plan yet because offensively we weren't that great. Defensively, we were really good, but I didn't want my defense on the field all the time. You know, you go with that tempo, three and out, three and out.
You better get first down.
Right, exactly. Otherwise, you're just killing your D. And he goes, I choose my spots to go with tempo. We don't have to go tempo all the time. And you just, but things like that, it's like, man, that's, you know, it's just, you know, it's simple, but it's not. It's deeper than that. And I just think that's just some of those things he said. And just knowing, you know, Greg Austin and knowing and Barrett and the things that they'll say about him. And just, it's, there's nothing like crazy that, you know, it's nothing like mind blowing, but he just is always saying the right things at the right time, has the right answers at the right time for things, whether it's in game, in practice, post game, post practice. He always has the right topic, the right way to present himself, to present things to your team to make them feel either better about themselves or kind of bring them down a peg to say, hey, you're not where you think you are right now. Like, we still got to get after it a little bit. So he's doing the things the right way.
Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt will wind down hour one here at Seacrest on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down this first hour here at Seacrest Field, Hail Varsity Radio. Roadshow Friday, Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer, Jay Moore, Seacrest, as you have Lincoln High and Millard South, round one of high school playoff football in the great state of Nebraska, and Sauter Heyman. Listen, man, I think Rick can throw the football. I think he's pretty good at breaking tackles. He's better at sparing your wallet. Rick Heyman, Sauter Heyman, 0% interest financing through 2020. Check out their extensive collection of both Earth Mind and Pure Grown Diamonds. 1 carat diamonds available. $99 down, $99 a month. And I tell you what, Sauter Heyman voted best a year after year. They had the old watch showcase at the South Point location last Friday and Saturday. Hope you got to that. But $99 down, $99 a month for 1 carat diamonds, 0% interest financing through 2020. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman today. Tomorrow, when it works out for you, 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln Rod West in Grand Island. Let's talk NFL for a minute with NFLer Jay Moore. And listen, Baltimore, they did everything but turn Snowflake and the Dolphins into
sushi, you know,
Charlie Tuna,
yeah.
Right? So 40 to rip. That was brutal. Your teammate and a guy you played ball with, Ndamukong Suh, his response to his teammate Kiko Alonso's night-night time of mm-hmm. Joe Flacco, as quickly as he jumped on the guard, and then right the choke slam on the former Arkansas quarterback later on in the game. Sue is insanely fast and talented. You've heard me gush about him. When he wants to turn it on, man, or it's go time, I mean, he's, and this is a compliment, he's psychopathic. He is that good. But the choke slam, you wouldn't expect anything less. Did you see him choke slam anybody?
a couple times in practice, but yeah, that was, I mean, it's, you know, he was the after the Alonso hit on Flacco, then because the
dirty
the,
or not, your take. He didn't
hard.
Go with his head.
He didn't lean with his head. It was just, it's so hard. I don't think there was it was dirty intent. You're in the middle of a game. You're trying to play, and you got this physical mentality. It happens. I mean, it was, he got his head out of it. You know, if he was leaning with his head, it'd be different. I mean, I don't think he was trying to hit him in the head. I mean, you're just trying to get a shot on Flacco. But I mean, Sue's reaction to him knocking down the guard, but the choke slam to Mallett after the jumping off sides, because Mallett tried to get in his face, but he's like, "Hey, listen here, buddy, you're a quarterback. Get out of my face." But it's kind of funny, you know. Sue doesn't care.
No,
Sue's just going to do what he wants to do, and he's that good. And he can, I'm sure he'll get a nice little check for, you know, a FedEx letter in his locker next week for a fine, and he'll pay it and go on about his business.
Yeah, absolutely. If Sue would do a charitable contribution match to his fines throughout his career, I mean, I don't know, just an idea. We'll wind down this hour. Coming up, we'll talk Nebraska-Purdue, more on Scott Frost. Friday forecast is around the corner. Clausburn makes an appearance. What does he say about Penn State this week? Don't know. But you'll have to check that out. We're here at Seacrest Field, high school football at 7. As it's Lincoln High in Millard South. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, hour 2 on the way.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
There is no doubt that we are going to create a great defense. We are going to create the best defense in the country here. There's no doubt about that. It's just going to take time as these gaps are eliminated, minimized, and eliminated for every player. And the players are good enough to do that, to do just that. The ones on the team and the ones we're trying to have join the team. It's exciting. The future's exciting. I can personally see all the people and the gaps, and the staff included.
Mr. Diaco promising greatness from that defense. He's working on it. They're working on it. Will it be on display Saturday night in West Lafayette? Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are at Seacrest Field here ahead of playoff football. Millard South visiting Lincoln High, as we'll have that game on sister station KFOR at 7 tonight. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. Millard South is here. They are warming up. Well, not quite yet. They're trying to literally warm up as some of the coaching staff is out on the field here at Seacrest. Exciting time of year. Gorgeous time of year. It is football weather. I am wussing out and staying in the booth to stay warm. Jay, you heard Coach Diaco creating a great defense, the best defense, and it takes some time to do so. Let's spend a little bit of time on a position you know well, that is the linebacker spot, and this game, this contest, when you have a guy that's probably been I think you could argue your best, most sound defensive player, Luke Gifford, out with a hip issue. Tyron Ferguson, a lot of promise. He's had turf toe. Don't know what he's got now, but he will not suit up. It is going to be the Marcus Newby show at one of the linebacker spots. You get your secondary back, but it's going to be on Newby and Cedric King and Alex Davis. You can't, and a lot of times they went with Newby and Gifford on the field at the same time. Dedrick Young is going to go. That plate in his arm/hand has been fixed, great, but that isn't going to feel great trying to tackle with one hand, one arm. So before we get further into how this thing shakes out, give me a take here on what Diaco and this defense will do at linebacker. The good news is Purdue has not scored on many or any in quite a while. They are abysmal offensively. Now, maybe that changes with Blau getting more snaps. But how do you shake things out of that middle linebacker? I shouldn't say middle linebacker, but that second level and the linebacker spot without Gifford.
Yeah, you'll probably see a lot of Ben Stille in that situation too. And he's played well. I really like the way he plays. I think he needs to play more, in my opinion. But I think when I spoke to you on Monday in the radio, I think this game plan, whether you have healthy linebackers or you have dinged up linebackers, you're short, I think you got to straight up just get after people these five games. I mean, you're not good enough to sit back there and try to play base. I know Purdue will give you some goofy looks. I know they do some things differently. They do they love the screen game, love the bubble, whether it's bubble screens, whether it's running back screens. They'll do some different looks to kind of spread you out. I mean, I watched them play Michigan. I think they ran like four or five different types of screens in a row when they played Michigan a few weeks ago. So they'll try to do anything and everything to exploit your weaknesses at defense. And where Nebraska's weak, and it's been weak all year, it's kind of been setting those edges. So Nebraska's got to tighten up because they struggle to do that, but I'll tell you what, you can't afford these five games, man. You've got to go down swinging. If you're going to go down, fight, and just bring some pressure. Make the quarterbacks uncomfortable. Make them throw up some balls. Make them, throw away passes if need be. Because we're not good enough up front to get to rush three or even four in situations. And our DBs have struggled all year in coverage, so the DBs have been uncomfortable. So you know what? Let's make something happen, and I think that's what you do. Whether you're bringing five, whether you're bringing Weber, whether you're bringing Newby, whether you're bringing Stille, whatever it may be, get after them. Don't make them uncomfortable, both of them, Blau and Sindelar, and just decide. Enough's enough. Let's bring the pressure. And let's make something happen finally. And they've done it a couple times this year. You saw the Illinois game. I know Illinois is not very good, and I know Rutgers isn't great, but we just play better. And I think when you're struggling defensively with a new scheme anyways, you have to get your guys to play fast and not be so overwhelmed with multiple checks, multiple different scenarios. Let them just pin their ears back. Hey, you got this gap, and go. Go 1,000 miles an hour and get after it and quit thinking so much, quit playing slow, and go make something happen.
Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt here at Seacrest Field, Hail Varsity Roadshow Friday. As the sun is peeking out, Jay, I think it warmed up about 15 degrees, maybe outdoors. I'll let you go check that out for me during the next break. Friday forecast is coming up. Jay Moore will give his prediction here before we say goodbye. Klausburn is about 15 minutes away and his take on things. You mentioned be aggressive. Nebraska's tended to be more aggressive against some lesser opponents, or there's more comfort at taking chances against some offenses that aren't Ohio State. They came after Wisconsin, and it was just Wisconsin quit screwing around, and it was the run game that did in Nebraska. I don't think Purdue's top tailback will play because of an ankle injury, so there is that. Now, talk to me a little bit here about the corner position. You have Chris Jones back. That is good. He is now it's a third week or a third game where he's kind of getting into the swing of things. It's still early for him with this injury, but you have options to kind of rotate opposite Jones at the quarter spot. Do you think that's been – what's been the bigger reason for Diaco and this defense's lack of aggressiveness? Has it been the opponent, or has it been the comfort level with the corners? Because those guys are 12 yards off, and when they're off 12 yards, I get not letting anyone behind you, but they've not tackled. They've not been able to come up and tackle in space, so it's been detrimental for that corner spot when Nebraska's trying to, you know, kind of keep things in front of them. Do you think they'll see more? You'll see more pressure. I know it's something that you want to see. Do you think they'll be confident enough defensively with a bye week going into this thing to do it? Because Purdue's not setting records on offense.
I think so. You look at games where defensively they've really struggled. You look at the first game, they struggled and didn't do much. Kind of sat back there in base, you know, the whole time. Then you look at the first half of the Oregon game, struggled, sat back there. And then finally the second half, they kind of started switching some things up, bringing a little more heat. And then you look at, the Northern Illinois game, they did play well defensively. I'll give them that. Mm-hmm. But it's still Northern Illinois. Right, you're right, you're supposed to. Then you look at Rutgers played better. Illinois played better. You're bringing pressure. I understand that those aren't the best of football teams. They're nowhere near what Wisconsin, Ohio State is. But sometimes if you want to sit back there and just chill, you give teams just too much option. I know some if you want to use a golf term, you know, and you're in a bad situation, sometimes making a bogey is better than making a double or a triple bogey, and you just kind of fight to live another day. Well, that's what's kind of Nebraska's theme, I think, against Ohio State. They're like, well, let's not, you know, they got so much firepower offensively. You know, if we try to get after them, then they're going to do is just keep hitting their head in the goalpost. Well, they did it anyways. You didn't stop them hardly at all. So looking at this, you see the times they've struggled, bouncing back, they brought the pressure. They dialed up some different looks, some different blitzes, some different movements up front. I think you'll see that. I think you just have to anymore with these five games. And I think from the corners, it's been Jekyll and Hyde all year with that crew. I think having Chris Jones helps. But still, he's coming off an injury. He's not, you know, he doesn't have a lot of reps underneath him this season, and he's got a lot of rust. I think Lamar Jackson struggled mightily all year. I don't know what he even wants to do anymore in that position. DiCaprio Boodle's played well at times, but he's, you know, struggled. But the whole secondary, so Kalu struggled coming up and making tackles in space. I mean, the whole secondary has been
Aaron Williams has been about it.
Right, and he's hurt. He's been banged up. I think you get Antonio Reed back, I think, this week as well, so that helps. He showed some signs. But it's just the whole inconsistencies with the defense and really this team in general. But and I know it's new, and I know the personnel's not there. I know he's missing his studs at outside linebacker to really make a 3-4 go. I know he doesn't quite have that nose guard that you need yet. Mick's done okay. DT has done okay for being a true freshman. He's played pretty damn well for being a true freshman, but he just doesn't have his guys. I know that, and it's hard to say to give him time. I just don't know if this staff's going to get that time going forward. I think Diaco's a hell of a D coordinator, don't get me wrong, but he's short. He's short a few cards in that full deck, I think, from really making what he wants to happen. And he said it in the as we went into this segment, but you got to make something happen, whether you're short a couple horses or not. I tell you what, you got to almost these last full games. You know what? I'm putting all my chips in. I'm all in. And if it works out, great. If not, so be it. I went down swinging. Hey, I went down, you know, doing whatever I could, not just kind of sitting back there and just hoping for the best.
Does it bother you, Jay, to hear the time element brought up, the injury element brought up, the transition element brought up? And this goes back to Monday a bit with Riley, with feeling more like year one than year three. You know football. You've lived it. You've physically lived it, where you've had to do scheme change, coaching change, and, by the way, go out there, perform, don't lose. So do you buy into that, or does it sound excuses? How much of it is reality versus how much of it is, let's kind of change the conversation and focus in on why it isn't happening versus the fact that it's not happening, the why versus the reality?
Well, I think, when you make the change of D coordinator, you get rid of Banker, you were good against the run, but always kept up, you know, gave up a lot of big plays. Well, his defense still gives up, big plays, whether it's against the run or the pass. But I think people were kind of undersold or just under didn't realize what. I mean, I kind of knew what going into – I mean, changing up schemes, going from an over front to an under front within a 4-3, that's simple. That's easy stuff. You can do that in a spring. But changing from a 4-3 to a 3-4 – I mean, that takes years.
There's some truth to it.
No, it takes years. I mean, and so that, I'm not trying to make – so there is – I'll give them that. It does take time. I mean, it's not just going to be a spring ball. It's going to take a whole season. I mean, I think it's taken a little longer than what he expected, probably what Riley expected. I thought, you know, you make this change, and it was a ballsy change. I'll give him that. I mean, you're changing coordinators going to year three, where you know that year three is kind of that magic number now in college football. But
so is it an argument for more time for all of it?
No. I mean, no, because you got to be held accountable for this change.
You made the change.
You made the change.
Or the guy that hired you made the change.
Correct. Who knows how his, you know, what he was forced into doing.
That's
there.
Fair.
Right. But you're still put in this position, you know, and you must not have put up a fight to say, hey, I want my guy to stay here, or I need whatever the behind the
or nobody told you,
right? Easily could have been that situation.
Hey, you know, why are you right? Changing banker's door? It's banker, not Diaco. Mike, just go down the hall. I'll tell you in a little bit.
Yeah, go watch Matlock, Mike.
You went Better Call Saul Matlock on me. So what you didn't expect though is for the offense to just continually
Here's what I didn't expect. Poor play from the line again. That's what I wasn't expecting, and that's you continually see it. I mean,
you see Hymus and Decker play well, but
yes.
they're in because guys got hurt.
Yeah,
which is more of a what are you doing?
Right,
what's going on?
Yeah, it's just that there's a lot of just. I mean, there's so many different scenarios you can look at. I mean. You want to make excuses? I don't know. I mean, I'm tired of excuses anymore with this. I mean, there's a certain point where this staff and this team has to be held accountable. I mean, I know some guys are playing because of injuries, but why are some of your guys that have played extensive keep making mistakes? That's what I'm tired of.
That's the question I've got for you. So, practice wise, what's it look like to you? Where, listen, the game plan's there. They can see what a team does well. And where they can exploit a team on offense and defense. These guys are smart enough coaches to put a viable game plan together. Execution and personnel are two different things. Are you practicing it? Are you practicing it as close to game speed as possible? Or is it on air? Or is it tagging off? I mean, those are things that it looks like that they're not able to translate whatever has gone well on the practice field to game time. And listen, there's no way to simulate Wisconsin. There's no way to simulate Ohio State or Oregon for that matter. I get that. But when push comes to shove, they're not doing the fundamental things well. And it almost feels like they're trying to get them to run a marathon before they are able to crank out a 5-minute mile.
Right.
Okay. Are they training to sprint, but they're asked to run a marathon? Mm-hmm. Are they skipping steps?
Right.
Even
I mean,
from a fundamental.
You just look at games, though.
From a technique standpoint.
When you play against, even you want to go, say, Northern Illinois, Oregon, it just seems like this team, offensively, defensively, you go into games, it takes them a minute to get caught up to that speed. It's like, well, you prepare how you play. So you tell me you put that product, that means you're not preparing well. It's simple as that.
Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're here at Seacrest Field, getting ready Lincoln High and Millard South at 7. And wherever you're hearing us along the Hail Varsity Network, enjoy playoff football tonight. Great affiliates with great and tremendous coverage of your area high school teams. A quick timeout, the Friday forecast coming up.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big weekend of college football, and most are slammed in at that 2:30 or 3 o'clock Central time slot. Little World Series going action. Nebraska at night. And the Friday forecast is brought to you by your friends at the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline at 1-800-522-4700. We welcome in Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity. Vogues, how's the roadie going?
It's going pretty well. West Lafayette, it's not a bad place to be, actually. So we'll enjoy that.
You got to go in 2015. Aside from the score and the turnover number, did you find a good spot to eat?
Yeah, there's a great burger spot called Triple X Burgers, which is not as probably jokey as it sounds. I don't know why it's called that, but it's just kind of a little diner joint that makes their own root beer, which is also excellent.
When I think of Triple X, I think of large hamburgers. You're right, Vogues. that's where I go. Claus, how are you, sir? Speaking of Triple X.
Well, I'm doing okay, but I guess when I think of Triple X, I think of buns. So I'm somewhere in the neighborhood, I think.
Well, you got to have that that flat top little char going on with the burger, don't you, Vogues?
Oh, absolutely. It's the only way to go. Burger King, flame broiled, no.
Let's get to football. We'll stop talking about letters and their meanings. There's numbers attached to a bunch of letters like TCU and Notre Dame and OSU, and we'll dive right in. TCU is at Iowa State. Oh, man, those Cyclones have given a lot of Nebraska their weather this week. Iowa State comes in ranked at the tail end at number 25. TCU in the driver's seat for the Big 12 and perhaps a playoff spot. One more of many hurdles for TCU. -6.5. Vogues, let's start off here. What do you think here, the Frogs or the Cyclones?
Yeah, I think Iowa State's legitimately top 25 good. I think they've earned that ranking. TCU might just be good, however. I think Iowa State will hang around a little bit here. TCU ultimately gets the win, but not the cover. 24-21.
Okay, TCU plays, well, great defense for the Big 12, really good defense for anywhere else. And I don't think this is a game Gary Patterson will let his guys lose. He's pretty competitive. He's already won in Stillwater. Ames isn't that much of a, well, it's not fun to play at, but as far as the intensity, it's not like, say, going to Norman. Give me TCU the win in the cover. I think they get it done here 31-24, just barely covering, but a good ball game, and TCU stays unscathed. Klausburn, what do you see here?
Well, with TCU and ISU, or as I call it, the Settle Down Husker fans, neither of them are coming here, Bowl. Really, I've got to say, this whole coaching search, this hypothetical coaching search, is really grating on me because, number one, it's not real yet. And number two, people still think that TCU is in the Mountain West. I mean, Gary Patterson is set up well with money and facilities and exposure, recruiting grounds, and Nike provides more than enough shirts and visors for him to sweat through week in and week out. So I think he's doing pretty well there, and I think he gets the cover in this one. But I also agree that ISU hangs around. Maybe it's a bad beat, but TCU wins it 34-21.
Okay, there you go. Tail end, a little room, a little breathing room there for TCU, says Klausberg. NC State and Notre Dame. Channel your inner Beano Cook for this one here. Irish -7.5. This is the game you'll tune into to hope and see Notre Dame fumble it away if you are anti-fighting Irish. NC State does a great job against the run. Notre Dame does a tremendous job of power running. I think the Irish win this. I think they're really pretty good on both sides of the football. Give me Notre Dame 35-28 and the win, but not the cover. That hook, that 7.5 is what you kind of hang your hat on here. If you take NC State, and you might get it. That's what I'm saying, folks.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame, they're putting up Navy-like numbers on the ground without running the option, which is pretty impressive. NC State, good to be where they're at. Start to look at the wins over Louisville, Florida State. Don't have quite as much luster as they did. I think they're overvalued at 14. I think Notre Dame's going to roll in this one like they did last week, 42-24 Irish.
Okay, so Vogue says Notre Dame under touchdown Jesus with some authority. Clausburn, Wolfpack, or Fighting Irish?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you because I haven't thought about Ron Paulus or his four Heismans in many, many years. So thanks for that reminder. But, you know, the Wolfpack have been a surprise team this year. And I'm sure no one is more happy about that than the livestock around Raleigh, who've now got more than just the NASCAR race when they can relax each week. It's a great story for them, but I think as we draw closer to Halloween, especially after last week, I know better than to bet against the crazed goblin again. So I'll take Notre Dame in this one, 31-21, and NC State gets some garbage time scores. I think it's really a much bigger blowout than the score will indicate.
All right. Sparty is at Northwestern. Michigan State -2.5, Northwestern and Iowa. That thing was, well, forgettable, and it went into overtime. I like Michigan State here. I think Northwestern will play closer in this one just because of that rivalry victory they got last week. Michigan State, though, just plays good defense. They run the football. Quarterback play's not been great, but they're more athletic than they've been in past years. They, you know, going back to Notre Dame, Michigan State really, I think, helped give that one away. Notre Dame may have won it, but the turnovers and the red zone turnovers weren't pretty advantageous for Sparty there when you look at the final score. Give me Michigan State here, and I think they win by about 10. 31-21, Sparty gets the road win. Vogues?
Yeah, Michigan State's 4-0 in the Big Ten at this point. Every game been one possession game. Playing with fire, in my opinion, I think that's eventually going to come back to bite them. I actually think Northwestern might be the better team here. They're rounding into shape. So they'll get a win here just in time to get people excited for them to visit Nebraska. I'll take the Wildcats 17-14.
Okay. Vogue's going with the purple. The win in... They get the points at home. Clausburn, what do you like here? Do you like Northwestern or do you like Michigan State?
Well, I'll be honest, guys. This game just makes me glad the World Series is back on tonight, because thinking about baseball certainly helps when I remember that both of these teams beat Iowa 17-10. I know it's an old trick, but I'm an old man. It still works. So I'm going to take Michigan State in this one, 21-17.
Okay. Sparty the win and the cover. Let's head to Columbus, Penn State, Ohio State. Game of the weekend, game of the year perhaps in the Big Ten. Ohio State -6.5. Here's my hang up here. You got revenge. You have an incredible atmosphere, and you have JT Barrett. You have those factors, and then Penn State's offense and defense, frankly, kind of in a category on their own. Penn State's offense will do what they do to anybody. Their defense is fed off not great offenses. I think the Penn State defense is good, but I don't know if they're number one scoring defense in the country good. Ohio State, I think, is extremely talented. I worry about the quarterback play. They'll need to get Barrett close to 100 yards on the ground, I think, if they're going to win this. And I like Penn State. I think Penn State is going to give Barrett problems when it comes to passing the football. And I think Barkley is going to torch whoever's trying to cover him, as well as the damage he'll do on the ground. Give me Penn State the outright win. Don't need any points, but you'll take them 35-28. Give me the Lions in the win against Urban and Ohio State. Vogues, what do you see here?
It's hard to pick against the Buckeyes in Columbus at night with the revenge factor going on. Urban Meyer hasn't lost more than one home game in any of his seasons at Ohio State. But I too think this year might be the year that happens. Penn State has a lot of weapons. They're just playing really solid right now. And also, it's no fun to pick Ohio State to win all the time. So I'll take the Nittany Lions 24-23.
Okay, you say Penn State by a point in a classic. Klausburn, what happens here? You going with Ohio State or you going with Penn State?
Well, first, I got to say, this matchup and the importance of it, because of where these teams are just proof that karma doesn't exist. So, Brandon, you can tell your girl Taylor Swift to quit singing about it anytime. I mean, you show her James Franklin's career track and she'll be forced to revise the lyrics next time someone makes her sad and she writes a song. So I really don't want to pick either team, but I think Saquon Barkley's probably the difference. And so in this one, I'll take Penn State 31 and Ohio State 27.
Okay, Klausburn says Penn State. We are unanimous. That is dangerous. Take heed with that. Guys, about 60 seconds here. Nebraska-Purdue. I think Nebraska comes out ready to play, anxious to get back at it. And I think the run game with Ozigbo is the difference. The defense will look better because Purdue's that bad. Give me Nebraska 24-10 in kind of a grind it out, ground attack. Yes, I said ground attack. 24-10 Nebraska Vokes.
Yeah, I think the only thing Husker fans want at this point in this particular season is some clarity, and this game's not going to provide any of that. It's going to feel ugly and bottom of the Big Ten, I think. But I do think Nebraska, with kind of its back against the wall a little bit when you look at the schedule, gets it done, 20-17.
This could be the game of the year, and that's sad to say. Klausburn, what happens?
Well, I got to say, I'm really encouraged that the coaches are finally coming around on Divine Ozigbo. I think at this rate, they might finally figure out next week that Bruce Willis was dead the whole time in Sixth Sense. And that really, there's one way to serve chili, and that's with a cinnamon roll. So they're learning, and that's good. I'll take Nebraska in this one, 21 and Purdue 20.
Okay, you say a point. It's one of those nail-biter, white-knucklers, but we are unanimous with Nebraska going on the road and getting it done. Vogue, safe travels. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you.
Claus, you be good.
Okay.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back here, Seacrest Field is where we're at. A Roadshow Friday with Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. The Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, back at the controls. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore is next to me. Chris Schmidt, hope you're doing all right. The Friday forecast, we'll get Jay Moore's prediction here before we say goodbye. Millard South and Lincoln High get rolling at 7 o'clock here in Lincoln. If you're on your way to high school football around the state, where you can hear us on Hail Varsity, and good luck to the team you're cheering for. Excited tonight about Millard South and Lincoln High. Two tremendous programs, two great coaches, and should be a good one. We'll have on sister station in Lincoln here on KFOR at about 7, pregame at 6:50. You can join us if you choose, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Schilling Bridge, Cork, and Tap House. The skies are gray off to the east. Sunshine is bursting through like a third down and one run that pops for a touchdown here from the west side of the stadium. The wind is just excessive, man. It's just a force out of the northwest, and the American flag is straight out and rippling in the wind. And what a great backdrop here with all the colors of fall, and it feels like winter. Is it the winter for Mike Riley here going into Saturday at Purdue? We've already talked about, is his job salvageable to start the show off? We've spent a lot of time on Scott Frost. Let's just cut to the chase and ask the question. I spent a little bit of time on it this week, Jay, but glad you're here today. Is this the biggest game in the Mike Riley era of Nebraska football?
Going forward, yeah.
That's super hyperbole.
Right.
But I don't think it's wrong or all.
But it is what it is, because you come out of the bye week and you play well. I kind of said forget about the last seven games. Learn from your mistakes, but you know what? This is a five-game season. And you come out this game one, and it just sets you up well. I mean, this team needs to get back on the right track. They have not played well the last couple games. You got to get back on the right track. Get some momentum going. Get some positive thoughts going. I mean, it's just there's so much negativity, but it's just kind of, you know, a poor me, poor us situation kind of
this
right now.
This is different than Bill, and this is different than Bo.
Right. So because if you go out there and you play well, it sets you up. Then you can definitely beat Northwestern at home. You can definitely beat Minnesota up there. Penn State's tough. You know, Iowa, you can definitely beat them at home. But you come out here after a bye week, play poorly, lose. Then it's like, well, you can definitely get beat by Northwestern at home. You can definitely get beat by Minnesota at home. You're definitely going to get beat by Penn State on the road. You're definitely going to get beat by Iowa. It totally flips that whole scenario, that whole positive momentum, that positive thinking that really can help out teams going forward.
Am I nuts to think that they're better than four of the last five teams they face?
No, not at all. I mean, you saw.
Or am I just in some la-la land?
No, I don't think so.
Let's be honest. Big red glasses.
Right. Let's be honest. The Big 12, besides Wisconsin, the Big Ten West.
Yeah, Big Ten West is bad.
Bad. They're bad. You look at it, though. I mean, you saw what Purdue did against Rutgers. You saw what Iowa against Northwestern.
But I also saw Iowa against Penn State.
Right. You also saw who did Minnesota played last week. Gosh, I watched a little bit of that game. They play.
I forget.
I'm drawing a blank now. But, you know, they wasn't a great team by any means.
I saw Minnesota get beat by a third-team quarterback.
Right.
In Maryland.
Right. So you can just – there's – I tell you what, it's so up and down. I mean, every game is winnable. Every game is losable. Besides, you know, you want
is it losable?
Penn State.
Is it losable because of the psyche and the noise?
Yes. Yes and no, but it's losable because you still don't have an identity as a team. You still don't play well enough up front as a unit offensive line. And when you don't have that, when your five guys are still inconsistent, and whether you want to say it's youth, injuries, whatever it is, every game is going to be tough. You know, if we had five guys and you could say, hey, I know we can run the ball, I know we can get 250 on these guys, I'd say, oh man, love our chances. But we haven't proven that yet. We haven't. There hasn't been yet. You go back and you look at Nebraska football and the Mike Riley area. There's only been one game you said that's what it should look like. There's only
UCLA.
Been one. That was UCLA. You love the physicality of how you played against Wisconsin up there last year, but you still found ways to lose the football game, but you still don't know. I mean, that's the sad thing to me in this 3 years. You still don't know under Mike Riley what you want this team to look like. The identity, it hasn't been proven yet, you know. And it's kind of sad. I mean, you think, you know, that's because you get all these different answers and you get the Kool-Aid brought to you on, you know, by Riley or Diaco, whatever it is. But you know what? When it comes down to it, people are smart. People know football. And it's just like, you know what? We don't know. You think they should you go in the game and, hey, run it 40 times, get 250. Or you say, oh, nope, they threw it 40 times and you know, only completed 15 of those, and there's three interceptions, run return for a touchdown. Like, what the hell? It's just, you think you're on a right track, and then something else kind of flips, and something else goes wrong, and you have a different performance. It's just the inconsistency and no identity is just really puzzling for this program.
They've just not executed. They've not gotten out of their own way. They have been too cute at times with play calling.
Way too cute.
So when you look at all of those factors and facets moving forward, knowing that Riley and this staff, they want to be back. They want to have a chance to see a year four. And Riley's not – he has not said that he's taken over play calling. He's been asked a couple of different times. Is there more of an emphasis, do you believe, now going in with the bye week and now going into a very winnable game where, you know, old man's going to make his point known? And it's no longer, hey, I want my coaches to be experts. You put the game plan together. I'm the head guy. It's up to you. Do you think you'll have more input? Do you think you'll have more of a say? I mean, they're going to lean towards Azigbo. That's the first time you've heard that in seven games this year, and he should have been starting from day one. Not that Bryant wasn't great, but the minute Bryant got hurt in the third quarter of the Oregon game, quit jacking around and play some power football because it's an attitude. It's a bravado. Mm-hmm. I think the other 10 feet off of what Ziggy brought you, whether you like him as a back or not, I liked what he gave you.
Mm, absolutely. He's provided some sort of spark to the run game.
That's and what you've needed. You've had zero spark. I mean, the spark you've had right now is at least Tanner's been a man. Mm-hmm. Tanner's been great at just kind of sifting through all the crap, standing tall, trying to do his best, and really dialing back and not forcing it as much anymore. He's not folded. He's been a very good leader for this football team. There's not been much help, except when you hand it off to 22.
No, he's been great. I mean, it's just going forward. I mean, you can't get cute. I think you just have to buckle down and play physical football. Defensively, play aggressive physical football. Offensively, run the ball. I mean, you run it and just have a little some play action off those runs. Just simple, not trying to rewrite. You're right, exactly. We're not rewriting the book on how to, call a game. Just it's pretty simple, especially when you're going against poor weather this time of year. That's how you get a win now.
It's Jay Moore. It's Chris Schmidt. We're here at Seacrest, Hale Varsity Roadshow Friday, ahead of high school playoff football. A quick timeout. We'll wind down the show next.
And now,
back to Hale Varsity Radio.
One final time, we are at Seacrest Field. A little preview going on here for Nebraska Purdue. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore. As Seacrest Field, Lincoln High, and Millard South will go at 7 here in Lincoln. And I'll have that for you on KFOR sister station. And enjoy tonight if you're hearing us around the state getting ready for high school football. A little chilly. It's perfect football weather and should be great. It may be perfect Big Ten weather in West Lafayette. Nebraska Purdue, 6:30 BTN. A must win for Nebraska and Mike Riley. Not just to quiet things down, but to make Bill Moose think of the future. But also, I mean, bowl hopes are hinging on this thing. Jay, a couple minutes here before we sign off. A thought from you on how Nebraska gets this done. A thought from you on if Nebraska gets this done.
I think coming out of bye weeks, Mike Riley's teams play pretty well coming out of bye weeks historically. I think they do. I think it's close. I think I said 27-24 on Monday. That's what I think I said on Big Red Wrap-Up. I say it's a Drew Brown game-winning field goal, whether it's late in the game or it's kind of maybe early in the fourth and we hold them throughout the game. I like a close three-point ball, a three-point win for the Scurs in West Lafayette. And overall, I think offensively you play well. Defensively, you still have some hiccups just because you're still growing pains with this new look. And but I feel pretty good. It doesn't have like a whole lot of confidence there, but no, I feel good. Purdue's good, but they're not great.
You give me the Ron Burgundy question mark.
Yeah,
little sound effect.
Ron Burgundy. So we'll see. I like their chances of 27-24.
You know what? In the forecast I said 24-10. I think Nebraska's way more talented. I think the defense will look much better because of who they're playing. And I think the offense will ground and pound it. You'll have a little bit of an Illinois-type game plan, I would hope, if you're Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Just go in and do your thing. Most of the college football world will be watching the 2:30 or 3 o'clock kicks, be it TCU and Iowa State. And then you have Penn State and Ohio State, Notre Dame, and
NC State.
And NC State. Mm-hmm. So,
good games.
Yeah, really good games for your Saturday afternoon. And then there's Nebraska in the nightcap as we get you ready for it. Weekend edition of Hale Varsity Radio tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Myself and Mark Kranak. Bird, thanks for hanging out here. We didn't make you stay out in the wind. We're in the honorary Chuck Stevens broadcast booth. And you know what? We'll see if Nebraska can make it happen. And you know what? Bill Moose has said that he doesn't need to – he's not giving a win – total number. It's a look. Mm-hmm. How's this team look? And it's going to be awful disappointing, win or lose, if they come out lethargic.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
Absolutely.
You'll know it when you see it if they are going to play with some passion.
And it hasn't looked good. I mean, that Ohio State game was not a good look. Was not a good look at all. No. That's not how you want to look in any game, win, lose, or whatever it is. That was bad.
No, you got to come out and look like you want to be in it and you're not afraid of the moment or situation. We will sign off and say sayonara. Check us out on HailVarsity.com with the podcast, iTunes, or the ESPN Lincoln app. Bird, good to see you, my
Absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely. Thanks,
All
guys.
All right, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. with the weekend edition of Hail Varsity. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt for Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago. Talk to you next time. Thanks for tuning in.